Well, there's no record that they ever understood anything he said. So if any of you experienced that, like, no one understands anything I say, right? But no, that was a trial of the Lord. But he was very patient, of course, with them.
And
but
we need to look at... Sorry, John.
No, go ahead.
Look at it this way. There are two reactions as a result of a holy life in the presence of the sinful world. A reaction from people who draw hatred toward that life. They could not tolerate that holiness, that righteousness, that way he walked, he conducted himself. They have never seen anything like that before. And it touches their conscience, and it produces, generally speaking, hatred toward him. Mm-hmm. That's one reaction from those who are surrounding him, who are sinners. But mm-hmm. from his holy soul, who is pure and perfect, imagine again, walking in the world, what that drew from his heart is really compassion, pity, and grief. That is really the difference between his holy life reaction to those around him and their sinful life reaction toward him. So there was a suffering, an inner suffering, as a result of being misunderstood by the disciples. Even Peter, who thought he was doing him a favor by telling him, stop talking about your suffering. It's complete misunderstanding of everything. Judas, my familiar friend, who ate bread with me. I mean, he knew all of that stuff as he was walking through. The taunting of the Pharisees and the Sadducees everywhere he turned. I mean, imagine misunderstood all your life when you're right. It's one thing you misunderstood when you're wrong, and that's the case with us all the time. We feel sorry for ourselves. But imagine him misunderstood all the time by everybody far and close, even his own mother at the age of 12. Where were you? We were in torment. Nobody gets it. Yeah, your father and I are seeking you. Really? You should know better than that. Nobody got it at all. Yet, not a bad word. I think there was a hymn said, not even a bad word came out of his mouth as a reaction that even Moses couldn't take it anymore when everybody misunderstood him. But not the blessed Lord Jesus. He stand a head and a shoulder above everyone. Sorry, John.
I would just say that the expression, a root out of a dry ground, covers all that is endemic in the Lord Jesus. When we see it, a root in a dry ground doesn't produce. But he's a root in a dry ground, and he's producing. How does he get the energy that he needs to produce? From God. Nothing in this world satisfied his heart or provided for him what he needed. All of it was from God. We endorse what has been said in relation to his holy soul. That was energized by the Father. And in the world around, provided nothing for him. I like the expression, misunderstood when you're right. And when he's never wrong. So misunderstood all his life. Those who were closest in relation to the disciples, those who were closest, Master, cares now that thou not that we perish? Misunderstood. And he gets up, he rebukes the wind and the wave, and then he challenges their hearts. Another place, he challenges their hearts and then rebukes the wind and the wave. In everything that he did, he showed them what they needed to have confidence in himself. And he shows us what we need to have confidence in himself. And to see him in this world for God, sent by God, sent for God, but also providing for us all that we stand in need of. In spite of the condition that he was in faith. Sorry.
No, it's all right. I just want to add to what the brethren were saying, because it wasn't only that scene of his open ministry, he was rejected and he was despised. I thought we brought some examples. But even he was rejected when he was born.
Yes.
Even King Herod later on wanted to... The rejection was, if I can say it reverently, was the lifestyle of the Lord. In every stage of life, he was rejected and despised. That even Simeon, the first time you would think about the life of this blessed person, blessed man, is when Simeon took him in his hand and he said, he shall be a sign... shall be spoken against. This means that everything that will point toward him as far as this world is concerned, it's going to be against him. So even from his almost 8 days, right, in his birth, that there is the thought of this going to be a life of suffering and rejection from man, that we see it all the way up to the cross. But just think of verse 3, because just the thought, if I can read that verse from New Translation, he is despised and left alone of men. When you consider that he was left alone by men, it is not only the thought of rejection, but he was treated like a leper, because that term was used in relationship to lepers, that they would leave them alone and they would keep a distance from. And the Lord Jesus, the Holy One, the Pure One, was treated in such a way, unfortunately, by men who have no love and no concern about things of God.
This word despised is used at the beginning and the end of this verse. And to put together some of the things we've been saying, that at his birth, we had this idea of his rejection. And when he settled in Nazareth, the implication there is also this idea of being despised. It says in Matthew's gospel that he settled there with his family to fulfill the word of the prophets, that he'd be called a Nazarene. It's not a Nazarite. The Nazarite was something different. The Nazarene is a better word to make the distinction there. And there's not any prophetic scripture which has that phrase directly. He will be called the Nazarene. But among the ways that that phrase has been interpreted, one of the suggestions, I think it's a good one, is that he would be in a place where he would be despised. I was going to say that supports that thought, that he went to a place that actually archaeologists who study that area, they can not really even find evidence of such a place called Nazareth. Some have said, well, this calls the Bible view into question, or the Bible record into question. No, it's perfect. It's exactly the point, that it was such an out-of-the-way, backwater kind of place. And then to think that in the gospel, where the things of power that he did were considered signs to indicate his deity, the Gospel of John, specifically in that gospel, are statements that are so terrible in their implications. In John 7, his brothers say to him, "Why don't you go up to the feasts? Nobody seeks to be known, and they hide themselves," just sarcastically speaking to him. And another place, I think it's in that chapter, it says, even his brothers did not believe in him. He was despised, not just ignored. He was despised by his own half-brothers, as we would say. And in John chapter 8, he's speaking to those who seem to have believed, and then they begin to reject his words, and they say, at one point they say, "We were not born of fornication." The implication is this was the word going around about the Lord Jesus, right? He was born of fornication. The thing that was the aspect of his person that is a glory, the virgin birth, it was turned into, he was born of fornication. Who is he? And then a little later in that same chapter, they said, don't we say correctly, you're a Samaritan, you have a demon, you half-breed, you have a demon, and all the rejection about the miracles that he was doing by the prince of demons, that accusation. That is the greatest sin, by the way. That's the scripture says. That's the sin against the Holy Spirit, which cannot be forgiven. Those who accused him of doing work instead of by the Holy Spirit, but by the prince of the demons, that is the sin against the Holy Spirit. That level of despising. What is it to be despised? We've talked about being misunderstood. We've talked about being just rejected and set aside. Those things are very real as well. But to think especially of this word of being despised. And then just to maybe make a connection with what comes later, that he was forsaken. His disciples didn't understand him, but also they forsook him. In John 16, right near the end of his comments to them, he says, all of you are going to leave me. It's not just that the people of Israel were going to be scattered. We're scattered as a sheep that have no shepherd, and he came to gather them together. But his disciples, in his hour, you're all going to leave me alone. That's where he says, I'm not alone. The Father is with me. But he felt intensely the fact that he would be forsaken, even by his disciples.